Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Tell you, the Sabres are about to win the Stanley Cup. But when I think about nostalgia, when I think about players and people and organizationally guys like Lindy Ruff, I think about this type of song, this type of era. This was made in 1975, Joe. We've played it before. That's when they went to the Cup against the Philadelphia Flyers. It's actually 4 years before Lindy began his career in Buffalo. But this song, when I think of Lindy, I think of this era. I think of this song. As opposed to you, where you didn't really watch him play growing up, but he's your first Sabres coach, I believe, right? That you remember?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, for sure. He's the only Sabre coach I knew for forever. Because he's done playing when? 91. 91, yeah. So he's long gone before I'm around.
So, of course, I remember him as a Sabres coach, and that was great to see him behind the bench. But for me, even when he was coaching in the late 90s through the mid-2000s, Lindy was always a player to me first, right? If that makes sense, right? It's like if Jim Kelly came back to coach and some young person goes, yeah, Jim Kelly, the coach, we'd be like, no, he's a player. Josh Allen later in life, whatever. But, you know, to me, he was always Lindy the player first. When I see the video, the Sabres just put out, the Instagram and Lindy, like, I think of Lindy Ruff 22 skating around. I don't think about him behind the bench other than moments like the Ottawa Brawl and, you know, some of the clips we played earlier. Like, that's how I remember him. That's the nostalgia for me for Lindy. I think this hire, Joe, is so fascinating to me from that standpoint, which is, depending on what your timeline of Sabres fandom is, depending on when you entered in as a fan, as a media member, someone who covered the team, how old you are, it doesn't have to be age. It's whenever you kind of, your entry point into the Sabres, at some point, anybody listening to this or talking is going to have Lindy Ruff there. And when was that? And what do you remember from him? Right? That's why this is fascinating, the discussion surrounding him to me. Because maybe even if you're younger than you, Joe, it's, well, I remember Lindy Ruff, and guess what? He was fired because the Sabres weren't that good. Then he went to Dallas and got fired and went to New Jersey. What's the big deal? Why are you hiring this guy? There are people out there who think that way, right? And there are people like me going, like, this is a throwback to a captain who was a leader in his playing days, became the head coach and took him to some of the greatest moments, went to a Stanley Cup with them. Mm-hmm. Like, I think like that. I think the entry point for you can be way different on this.
Yeah. He coached 100 games in the playoffs for this team. Yeah. Three deep playoff runs, the finals, two conference final appearances. They never went, you know, actually there was one stretch where they went 3 years without the playoffs, but that was the longest they ever went. So, yeah, he's got a resume for a reason as the fifth winningest coach in NHL history. Like, he is there. How many people have coached in the NHL before? There are only four that have more wins than he does. That's it. Four.
Yep.
And he might even get higher on that list. I was looking at it earlier, Sal. Like, he's 50-something away from Barry Trotz. So if he even gets to year two or has a really good year one, he'll pass him. And he's 106 away from Joel Quenneville, who is second. If he gets to year three, If this goes well and he gets to year three, like, we might look up at the end of his career here and he's going to be in the top three all time for coaching wins.
As long as the Sabres make the playoffs the next 2 years, regardless of what they do, I think it's almost assuredly that Lindy Ruff will be the coach in 3 years. That's the way I look at this. Unless something were to really drastically happen, a fractured relationship, they bottom out. If they go on a nice run this year and then bow out in the first round next year and they just look awful and pitiful and regress, then maybe. But if they go to the playoffs the next 2 years, I don't think there's any chance he's not the coach 3 years from now, regardless of what the playoff exit is, to be quite honest with you. All right, listen, this is what I want to do today. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Part of the reason why I said what I said a little while ago, Joe, was this morning, my wife says to me, what's been the reaction from fans on Lindy? And I said, that's a great question. I said, like anything, it's going to be mixed, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to have your people who love it, your people who hate it. I said, I guess it depends on really how you view Lindy and how you view reaching to the past, because I've always hated reaching to the past ever since the Bills went back to Marv and Ted Nolan coming back, or name this player and let's go get him. And we take calls on the radio, go hire Bruce Smith and Jim Kelly and the heyday. Like, I've always hated that. But man, Lindy's good, and he was good 2 years ago, and he's still in this league and he's still relevant. So I don't know. But I really don't have a handle on really what the fans think. For the next 20 minutes, let's take phone calls from you, the fan, on the Sabres hiring of Lindy Ruff. In this day and age of social media and X/Twitter and Facebook groups, whatever it is, text threads, we communicate in so many different ways. We don't take as many calls these days, even though we should. We're a radio talk show, mm-hmm. Call-in show, and that's what we do. Let's do that today. I want to really get a gauge from the fans, Joe. I don't know how fans are feeling about this. I think you're going to get both sides when we do this. I mean, unless you've seen overwhelmingly one way or the other, I necessarily haven't, but I've seen both very polarizing reactions to this.
I think it's probably the most polarizing thing they really could have done. I think you might look at it as it's something that they could have done with the fans in mind, and I do think that can be a bonus at the end, which is what Kevin Adams basically said. I liked the way that Larry Quinn put it, the former managing partner of the Sabres. He called in to Bulldog yesterday, and I kind of liked the way he put it, that if you were going to make your decision strictly based on PR and the most positive reaction you could get, you would have hired Craig Berube. You would have hired the Stanley Cup winning coach with all the pedigree, all the credibility, the type of hire that everyone around the league goes, ooh, look at that. All right, Buffalo, Berube, like that. Versus you hire Lindy and it's split. You get a lot of people that love it and are going to be fired up opening night because he is the head coach. And then you are going to get a lot of people that give it an eye roll because, oh, here you go again. You're toying with fans. You're just playing with my emotions, trying to get me to reinvest because you can't come up with anything else. So I think you have two different crowds. I think that makes it more polarizing than a lot of other ideas that they could have done, which to me even further points to they truly believed this was the right guy for the coach, because it's not like it's all roses that they did it.
Even if they hired Berube, you'd have people saying, I can't believe you didn't hire Lindy. He's sitting right there. He's Lindy Ruff. See, that's what makes it interesting as far as how you view this. All right, we're going to take calls. I say 20 minutes because Paul Hamilton is coming up at 10:30. Matt Bove at 11:05. Matt's going to be down at the press conference today. We're going to talk about the Sabres, the hire with him, and also the Bills draft, and our conversation last night with Mike North, VP of Broadcasting for the NFL. We'll do that all-encompassing with Matt at 11:05. We're going to take your phone calls. What do you have to say about the hiring of Lindy Ruff? 803-0550. I want to take as many as we can, so try to be succinct and to the point, and we'll kind of roll through these calls as quickly and as best as possible. Let's hear what you have to say. Butch and Albion, go right ahead. You're first up on the Extra Point Show.
Yes, hi. I'd like to say how happy I am with this hiring. I love the way he played. I've been watching the Sabres for over 40 years, and his passion for the Sabres in the city of Buffalo is second. I'm so happy with this. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you, Butch. That is part of this, right, Joe, which is, don't we always want to be loved here in this city? We have a yearning for being loved.
It's definitely accurate. Yes, it's a maybe even to a fault sometimes.
Yep, agreed.
People want them to the people that are playing for the team, coaching the team, to care about the community and to care about the organization and the team. And it's very obvious you are not going to find anybody in the world. I mean, honestly, if you are out there thinking you care, you want the Sabres to win the Stanley Cup more than anybody else in the world, you might be willing to admit that the one person that might want it more is Lindy.
I love that. And we want people to love us and want to be here. This guy wants to be here. He still owns this house here, as far as I know. I know he did a few years ago, and I still think he does. Let's go to Brian on a cell. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, how are you? So 2 years ago, around this time, because it was the playoffs, I was playing poker at Turning Stone. This guy sits next to me, and I look at him, and I go, oh, it's Lindy Ruff. Because I thought it was somebody who looked like him. I did a double take. I'm like, oh, my God, it's you. So I've been a Sabres fan since as long as I can remember, back in the 70s. I was there for no goal. And I did bust Lindy's chops about going to Dallas and saying that it was a goal, and he took it in stride. I cannot tell you what a class act and how intelligent and informed guy he is. We were talking about his year in New Jersey, and we're Utica Comets ticket holders, but I do root for the Amherst when they play him. But anyways, Lindy's like, if you don't have goaltending, you have nothing. And he went through six goalies just like the Sabres did that year. And again, that was his downfall in Jersey. I really do think this is the right hire. His temperament, his passion for the city. I don't think he's coming back to coaching unless Buffalo approached him. He was definitely getting, this is a guy who's been doing this for his entire life. But and we talked more about, life, but his insights on hockey and willing to share it. I'm very excited. I didn't know how I felt about it, but once they announced it and I thought about it, I couldn't be happier. I think this is going to be a heck of a story when it's all said and done. I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. You got it. Joe, 64, right? 65, 64. I think he's 64 years
old. He's 64 years old, yeah. The age is a part of it. Like, I've been looking, and this is, something that's more important down the road, because 64, are we worried about 5 years from right now? No. I mean, there's a lot more important issues. But at 64, I was trying to find somebody that has coached, into their 70s. Like, how long do coaches really go in the NHL? Because I know the stat about the NFL coaches, that there's only been, four ever that have coached into their 70s. And it's about the same. If you look at, Scotty Bowman retired at 68. Boudreau last coached at 67. Quenneville, that's a different situation. That's earlier, though. Barry Trotz stopped at 59 when he retired. Hitchcock stopped at 68. The only guy I can find, and I've looked at, a bunch so far, is Jacques Martin, who just coached on an interim basis for Ottawa at 71. So most of these guys are done 67, 68, and that's about it. So I don't think there's any doubt. This is the last stop. This is it. This is Lindy's last ride. And that's another part of, it shouldn't be the determining factor why they hire him. But, of course, I think we know that that's not it. But it does go with it that it could be an incredibly cool story that Lindy's last act in the NHL as a head coach would be to get the team that he has been employed in every decade of their existence back on track. And that stat is true, by the way. Is that not incredible?
Yep.
That Lindy Ruff has been employed by the Sabres in every decade that they've existed.
Pretty amazing. We called it out. You answered the call. So let's take them. Let's go to Tommy in Buffalo. Hi, Tommy. You're on WGR.
Hey, how you guys doing? I actually was the guy who called the other day and said, what about Lindy being the new head coach? So it happened, which is great. But I do want to think a little bit on this in the sense that it's the loyalty, certainly Buffalo, literally all we had to cling on to for at least two decades of sports was just loyalty and love. So when it's one of those guys that was involved in Buffalo sports back when that was happening and had the resurgence in 2007, he made me love and fall in love with Buffalo sports while the Bills were tanking. You know what I mean? So he's a guy that already has restraint. And I called and said that he got a cup. He didn't get a cup. He doesn't have a cup at all. So obviously this is where he's coming to try and make his last push. We got the goaltending. We have the young talent that he can shape. I think this is perfect.
Thank you, Tommy. We appreciate that. Let's go all the way down to Cattaraugus. Corey's up next. Go ahead, Corey.
Hi, how you guys doing? So good, yesterday when it got announced, I'm not going to lie, I was furious. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of sick of the nostalgia hires, the reaching into the past. You know, I really wanted something new. You know, Berube, Brindamar, you know, whoever, someone that is in our past. But after kind of sleeping on it last night, waking up today, hearing all the coverage this morning while I was driving, I've turned around to it. You know, I think the story would be great. You know, he was here for the best and also here for the start of what is now our worst. And to have him come back with our young team, yeah, it was regression last year. But I think the talent's there. You know, I'd love to see him do it. So, you know, I've come around a little bit, but I still have to say I'm leaning more on the I would have preferred new. I really think I would have. But I have hopes, and I wish Lindy the best.
Thank you, Corey. Appreciate that. Let's go to Dan and Kenmore. Hi, Dan. You're on WGR on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I'm not old enough to really remember anything, you know, before Lindy. I'm under 40 years old. The only Sabres winning I know is when he was around. So that's, you know, there's a little bit of nostalgia there for me. But, you know, I worked in Clarence as a kid and just remember him always coming around the places I worked. And he's just such a great guy and so nice. And just, you know, you didn't even know he was the Sabres head coach the way he treated people. So I'm excited to see him back. And, you know, what a great offseason for both teams. We really don't know what to expect out of the Bills and the Sabres. And, you know, this is the most excited I've been going into the summer for both teams in a while. So I just wanted to say that.
Thanks, Dan. Joe, do you think that Kevin Adams knew he wanted to hire Lindy Ruff when he stepped to the podium last week in his press conference announcing Don Granato had been fired?
100%. I believe that. If you go back and listen to it, I've not done that, but I have the quotes. Like, he totally had a gut. I thought at the time, oh, he's talking about Lindy. And then the days went on, and I thought, okay, maybe he could have been talking about anybody or a type of person. But then it just, that's how it hit me at the time, was he had a certain individual in mind when he was talking the way he was. And honestly, for how quick it went, and for the fact that we didn't really have any other rumored candidate, it really does seem like, and maybe we'll get more clarification on this in a couple hours, but it does really seem like they never did a search. They just said, we want Lindy.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. How much of that do you think, because we know Terry Pegula's affinity for Lindy Ruff as well, when Lindy gets fired, is there a conversation where Terry says, look, Lindy's available, I love Lindy, like, we could really, you know what I mean? How much does that drive the decision? Because I do think that has to be a part of it. I'm not telling you Terry Pegula said, I don't care what you want to do. What I'm saying is, how much was maybe that happening the minute he was fired from Jersey?
I could believe that it would be both. That it could be both. You know, it would be that Pegula would love the idea, and that Adams would love the idea, right? Adams spoke with such conviction last Tuesday about what he was looking for, that it would definitely make me believe that he was all in on hiring Lindy. And he, of course, would know Lindy from multiple years of experience working underneath him as an assistant coach. So my best guess, right, Terry, his affinity for Lindy, and Adams knowing him so well, my best guess would be that they were lockstep and both really liked the idea.
Yeah, they probably, in some way, shape, or form, said the same thing to each other. They're on the same page, right? That's probably the way it went down. Let's go to James in Williamsville. Hi, James.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good. I was just calling in because I called about a month ago when Lindy first got fired, and I called and I said how I, you know, it's just an idea to have him in the organization. And Joe really hated that idea and just tried to clown on me for that one. But I just wanted to say I told you so. So, okay. Yeah, have a good one.
Okay, thanks. Well, he waited 7 minutes to tell you I told you so, Joe, on hold, just so you know. Let's go to Brian in Florida. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing? Good. I just want to touch on the grittiness, I think, that Lindy brings to the team. You know, it's funny. We were kind of joking. I was in Buffalo this past weekend for the Luke Combs concert with my father-in-law and brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. We were all talking about how Lindy's coming back. But again, he brings a grittiness, I think, to this team that we have not had since he's left. You got a lot of young guys that actually have left and have said, hey, we go and play in other places. I'm not going to name names, but there's a couple people that went out to Colorado. There's a couple people down here in Florida that play for the Panthers. And they do a different, you know, standard of accountability than they were under the current, or now I should say former coaching regime, the Sabres. So with Lindy coming back and being able to coach the way he wants to coach, I think he's going to return this team to a respectable standing, not just in the NHL, but within the division. And I really do expect him to really make this team, make some noise here going forward in the next few years. I know this is probably his last stop, but, you know, I follow the Panthers quite frequently down here, being in South Florida. Mm-hmm. He's a similar coach, I think, to Paul Maurice. I don't know what you guys think, but, I'm excited. I think this is a huge day for Sabres hockey. I'm really hoping he turns around some guys, too, like Alex Tuch. Jeff Skinner is another one. I'd even say Rasmus Dahlin. I want to see a physical team here next year. And, again, working to the bone, Lindy, because I think, again, this is what the Sabres team needs.
I am fascinated by how some of these guys – could respond or not respond under Lindy Ruff. I mean, a guy like Jeff Skinner, I am really fascinated, and I don't know how it's going to go for him, Joe. You know what I mean? Under Lindy Ruff.
My best guess on that guy specifically, if you made me bet right now on what's going to happen with Jeff Skinner, I think I'd want to bet they're going to buy him out.
I thought the same thing this morning, and yeah. I'm glad that you said that because I thought I was being way too reactive on that.
I think there's three outcomes with Skinner. There's three ways you could play it. You could buy him out. You could take your lumps, take your headaches of what his 200-foot game, and play him in the top six. Or you could play him in the bottom six. And to me, of those three, buyout might seem like the most reasonable idea, even though you've got some cap problems when you do that. The second to me would be, honestly, playing him in the top six. Like, I don't think that's a great outcome. I think you want to do better than that. But it is worth pointing out that exactly one month ago, he led the team in goals and was on pace for 30. Then, not even then, I think there was one game where he scored a few with Krebs. But the final 13 games of the year, all of those he played in the bottom six, he didn't score one single time. If there's one thing we absolutely know about Jeff Skinner, through his entire career, even in his prime, the thing we know about Skinner is you have to play him in the top of your lineup if you are going to get the goals. And to me, it's perfectly fine if you don't want him in the top of your lineup. But I think wasting everyone's time with him in the bottom of the lineup is the worst call you could make. So for me, I think
it's one or the other.
It's one or the other. And I think, because I'm at a point, too, where I don't really even think it makes a lot of sense for him in the top six anymore, which is why I've arrived at I think it might just be best to cut bait.
All right. Brian mentioned Colorado. Let's take one more. We'll go all the way out to Colorado. Dave is standing by. We got Paul Hamilton coming up after the timeout, but you go ahead first, Dave.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My first thought about Lindy was I was thinking about the Bills back in their drought and how they had such a difficult time even hiring a coach. Coaches didn't want to come to the Bills, and I was wondering if the Sabres were going through that same process at this point. I am excited for Lindy. I mean, I'm in my 50s. I've been a Sabres fan since the 70s, growing up in Niagara Falls. So I think Lindy is the guy, but they may not have had a chance to get Berube. Just my thoughts.
Possible.
Yeah.
We don't know if Berube. The only thing I've seen or read about Berube is that he wants to be closer to Philadelphia, which is, I guess, where his family is, than St. Louis. So, you know, who knows? It doesn't really sound like they. I mean, the fact they didn't take their time, there's only so many candidates they really could have interviewed, right? Like, between Gallant and Berube and, you know, there's guys that are still coaching in the playoffs. They clearly couldn't have talked. I don't think they could have talked to everybody that you would have wanted them to.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I agree. And obviously the waiting for Ron Brindamore thing was not going to happen, right? That was my best idea, but that wasn't going to happen. And I knew it wouldn't happen, but that was my favorite idea. All right, Lindy Ruff. He's the Sabres coach. Going to have a press conference today at 1 o'clock. There will be an extended Sabres Live that will start at noon. They'll go till 2 o'clock, then One Bills Live. In the meantime, Paul Hamilton joins us after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college. It's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, our Paul Hamilton joins us here. Lindy Ruff down at 1 p.m. down at KeyBank Center. Going to have an introductory press conference, a reintroductory, I guess. No one really needs an introduction here in Buffalo to Lindy Ruff, but for his new title, which was his old title, head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. Paul, right now on WGR, brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. I'm actually curious how it's going to go today, Paul, because Lindy's going to be all smiles, and these things are always, you know, happy moments for anybody. But it's also going to be a kind of a him seeing a lot of people he already knows, like you and Adam Bonini and people who've covered him, have been here a long time and, you know of his work. And it's going to be kind of a little bit different than most kind of introductory news conferences for a head coach.
I'm trying to think, if Tim Graham's there, he would be one, and it would just be me, Mike Harrington, and Adam Bonini. And I think that's it.
Warrow?
That's all he would know in the media.
Also,
John Warrow?
John Warrow, yes.
John Warrow. He would know him. And then James, the security guy that they showed a video of him shaking hands with coming in. He knows, he's going to know arena people, too, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. He will know arena people. There's no question.
Rip Simonic.
But Paul, but even having four or five people, like, I mean, you guys covered him when he was here, and people know him. And even if someone isn't necessarily who is someone in the media. So let's say our good buddy Bove, right? Bove's coming up at 11:05. He's headed down there today. I mean, Matt Bove grew up watching him. He knows everything about Lindy Ruff that he needs to know. And then he goes there and he might be meeting him for the first time. But this is a little different because this guy has such a body of work here. Everybody's so familiar with him. So what do we want to learn from Lindy Ruff? What do we want to know from Lindy Ruff? What's going to be the line of questioning down there today? I'm very curious about that. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess this means I'm old, but I've covered Lindy Ruff longer than anybody has in the history of the Sabres. I go, and that's easily, I'm the only one who even goes 30 years, because I covered him as a player. I always say I was there for for Lindy's second year, and people think I'm talking about as a coach. It's like, no, as a player.
Amazing. So, 1981, that would be, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's been a long time, you know, that I've been around Lindy Ruff, and you know, I was here when he was the captain, and then, you know, he comes back as the head coach and stays for, what, 15 years? And even, you know, as coaching at other places, you know, anytime he would come in, we'd chat and talk about whatever. And, you know, so it's, and here we are full circle.
So what do we need to find out about Lindy Ruff? I mean, what are the pressing questions? Joe and I were just talking about certain players, like what happens with Jeff Skinner. He's not going to tell you today, oh, yeah, I see Jeff Skinner on the top six or buying him out. He's not going to say things like that. But what do we want to find out about Lindy now that we know his body of work, you know where he's been, he's coming to this organization? Like, what do we need to learn about him at this point or how it's going to go with him?
The biggest one I'd be wondering about is what can he do to make Rasmus Dahlin what he should be? And Rasmus Dahlin is always already a very, very good player. But Rasmus Dahlin, when he came up and was being drafted, was supposed to be the best young defenseman around and a guy that was just going to take over the NHL on defense. And that hasn't happened. I mean, Quinn Hughes is the best young defenseman around, and Cale Makar, those guys. And I mentioned this on the air before that Quinn Hughes was in Dahlin's draft. And with hindsight that we have now, if they redid the draft, Quinn Hughes is the number one overall pick easily. It's not even close. You know, so, you know, I'd be very interested to see what Lindy Ruff can do to unlock more out of Rasmus Dahlin than the good player he is now. But I think there's more out of Rasmus Dahlin. I think he can be better. And I'm very, very curious to see what Lindy Ruff can do with him.
Yeah, Dahlin at the top of that list, Paul. Maybe below that, Power and Byram as well. And I'm trying to think, like, has he ever been tasked with, as the Sabres coach, with, hey, can you kind of maximize these highly talented defensemen? I feel like it may be just in terms of where they were picked. It's not like his Sabre teams in the past had these, you know, top overall pick defensemen that they were trying to get the most out of.
Yeah, and I think everybody, or not everybody, there are people a lot more worried about Power than I am, only because I use Rasmus Dahlin as an example. It took him 3 to 4 years to become what he is now. And that was only the second season for Owen Power. And I thought as the season went on, he played much better. You know, he didn't start off real well. But I thought as the season went on, he was pretty solid. So, I you know, being only a second-year NHL defenseman, I'm not extreme. Now, he didn't have the pedigree where he came in like Dahlin. I mean, yeah, Owen Power is the number one overall pick, but I don't ever expect him to be like Makar or Quinn Hughes or Dahlin. He's a different type of defenseman, and those kind of players only come around once every little bit. So I don't think Power is going to be that, but, you know, I think if he continues on the upward slide that he was in the second half of the season this year, he'll be just fine. I just don't have the worry about Power that everybody else does, and everybody has really short memories. They forgot. I mean, if the Sabres would have given up on – there are some people who want to give up on Power at his age now, and if the Sabres would have given up on Mittelstadt and Thompson at age 23, and Power's not even age 23, they'd be doing what they're doing somewhere else, like Mittelstadt is now, but at least you made a trade. You know, to get something back, it was you got value out of that player. But they were late bloomers too. I mean, Tage Thompson went from 8 goals to 37 goals, you know, in 1 year. So sometimes it takes players a little bit longer. But I don't even think in Power's case it's taking a little bit longer. He's just developing, and you know, it was his second year in the league. He's going to be inconsistent, and I really am not worried about him at all.
Paul, we know that Terry Pegula has always had an affinity for Lindy Ruff. I remember the quote when he got here and he said, Lindy ain't going nowhere, I think is how he said it. And of course, a few years later, that changed, and that's what happens in the business. Lindy Ruff gets fired from New Jersey. There was not some sort of huge extensive search that we know of. Maybe they talked to a lot more people that we know of or anything like that. There's going to be a question of, was it Terry Pegula just said, go get me Lindy Ruff? Was it Kevin Adams who said, hey, look, at Lindy's available? Was it a combination of both? How do you see all of that and how it played out?
I would say it was a combination of both. You know, they talked about it, and just slightly surprised Lindy Ruff would even want to come back the way he was treated with his firing. I mean, that was as bush league as it came. I mean, they had practice. He talked to the media. They're going to take a bus to go to Toronto, and Lindy goes home to pick up some things, and they used to take the bus from the Marriott in Amherst to go to Toronto. And Darcy Regier was forced to go over to his house and fire him before he went to the bus. And then he did go to the bus to say goodbye to the players. And I thought, wow, That's how you treat a guy who, and I don't think Darcy Regier wanted to, but I think he was forced to. And I thought, that's how you treat a guy who's been around for 15 years? And I, in the back of my mind, I say to myself, I'm a little surprised that Lindy Ruff would want to run it back with when that happened to him.
Can I just say this one second, though? If I remember that day, I remember the day it happened. I was driving home in a snowstorm from a Syracuse basketball game, and we were listening to it in the coverage on WGR, and you and Shope and Bulldog and everybody. But I do remember when Lindy spoke about it, he said, when Darcy came to his house, he just looked at him and said, I know. Like, I know why you're here. And he didn't seem to, like, this is, when you're telling me this, I'm kind of surprised now. I didn't realize this because there never seemed to be any resentment towards that from him. And I think he even had, like, a post-firing press conference, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, no, you're right. There wasn't. And as I said, I'm mildly surprised by that because I don't think you treat people that way. That's just me. That's the way I feel. But Lindy, I guess, was fine with it. And I just thought, why did you let him go through practice and talk to the media and then go home and get packed and ready to go? And as he's leaving, catch him as he's coming out of the house. And that's how you do it. It rubbed me the wrong way and still does even talking about it.
Go ahead, Joe.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. What do you expect in terms of style, Paul? Given his track record, what the team is currently constructed as right now, I feel like we just kind of went through a year of confusion a little bit, like trying to figure out all year what the Sabres wanted to be. What do you think Lindy will want them to be?
Well, I knew what they wanted to be, and Don Granato knew what they wanted to be, but one of the criticisms that I had of Don Granato was there was no plan B. It became rather obvious after 2 years that his team was not going to do it, whether they couldn't get it, because when they played it well, but it was so few times that they would play it, that it was just like, well, maybe your team just can't do it. Maybe they can't figure it out or whatever it is. And so maybe you need to change some things to mold to your team. That right there is what we're talking about here. And Lindy Ruff was, everybody thought he was a defensive coach. And I always would say to anybody who would tell me that, look it up. I mean, he had some teams that led the league in scoring because he would mold to what he had. Now, when Dominic Hasek was around and they went to the Stanley Cup Finals, yeah, they had Miroslav Shatan who had 40 goals, but they didn't have a lot of guys who scored a lot of goals. It was more scoring by committee. Dixon Ward would score you a big goal sometimes. Michael Pekka would score you a big goal sometimes. It would be around the lineup a little bit. So you couldn't really have an all-out offense with that type of a group. And then that group in the playoffs would come through and score some big goals for you. So that was more of a defensive team. But then you come in here with Briere and Drury and Vanek and Roy and Pominville, and it's like, well, wait a minute here. We can score some goals with this team. You know, and those are the teams that did score some goals. So I think there's proof right there that he's the type of coach that can mold to what his players are.
All right, Paul, in football, obviously, when you have coaching changes, one of the things that always gets asked is about control of the 53, control of the roster. We don't talk about that in hockey as much because it doesn't work the same way with the draft and coming in from the college and, you know, practice squads and things like that. But how much of a say do you think Lindy will have in kind of what happens and how the offseason is shaped? We talked about Jeff Skinner. You just mentioned a couple of guys that, you know, what you're going to get from them. You have a goaltending situation with Levi playing really well in Rochester, a young guy coming up, but a UPL, you know, contract situation here. How much will that communication, and if you can just kind of maybe tell fans how it generally works in hockey versus in football, where that's usually sometimes it can be a point of contention between a GM and a head coach and who controls things.
Yeah, no, he won't. What will happen is what Adams, I think, did with Granato. If he was interested in a player, he would talk to his staff, he would talk to the analytics department, and he would talk to Granato. What do you think of this guy? You know, how did you used to play against him in the NHL? Did you have him in the U.S. program? There were a lot of those that Granato coached in the U.S. program. And then Granato would give his opinion and you know, really go out and say, yeah, I would really go out and get that guy. And then, of course, Adams would make the final decision on, you know, with all the information he gathered. I don't see that changing at all. You know, contracts, that's up to Adams. I mean, Lindy Ruff's not going to get involved in that.
Okay, but what if he says, here's my example. What if he tells Kevin Adams, I don't think I can work with Jeff Skinner. I've watched his game, And Kevin Adams now has a decision to make on how Lindy wants to run his team with a guy who, we just said it, Paul, he can go anywhere from being in the top six to being bought out this summer. Like, what if that situation happens, how does it usually work, and how would it work in a situation like this, do you think?
I would guess if that's a situation or any situation like it, it's already been talked about before he took the job.
That's fair.
That, you know, here's player A. I just think he doesn't fit the team at all. I don't think I can really work with him. I can't do much with him. And then they would decide, well, okay, can you be the coach? Or, you know what, hey, don't worry about it, Lindy. We're planning on doing something with player A anyway. So I would hope that would be a conversation that's already been had before Lindy Ruff would have the job, because it'd be kind of awkward if Lindy Ruff rolls in training camp and say, what's he doing
here?
I can't coach this guy. You know, so, you know, I would hope that conversation's already been had, that now 2 years in, there might be a guy that comes up like that and say, you know, I've tried with this guy. You know, it's been a year and a half, 2 years. I can't get this guy to go. You know, we got to move him. He's hurting the team, and this is why. Boom, 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 boom. So, you know, that would be a conversation they would have. But Kevin Adams is big on information, big on conversations. He wants to challenge people around him, and he wants people around him to challenge him. You know, so he doesn't want to hear everybody agreeing with him all the time. Let's sit at a table, and I'm going to say this, and everybody goes, yeah, you're right, Kevin. Yeah, you're right, Kevin. That's great. That's not what he wants to hear. He wants to hear genuine opinions from all departments. And then, you know, he takes that information and makes a decision that he thinks is best.
Do you expect we'll hear anything about goaltending today? You think it's too early for those types of questions about how he'll operate? Because I know, you know, again, we're going to be reaching for Lindy's pass for a lot of this stuff, how he will treat a number one versus a rotation. And I don't know, if Levi's here next year, I'll be interested to see like what kind of workload they'll give him versus UPL.
Well, Levi's doing great in Rochester, playing really well. How that translates, we'll find out in training camp. And, yeah, it's too early. I mean, he's got to find out in training camp. I think if Levi continues to play well and brings it up to the NHL level, I think you've got a Bruins situation on your hands where they basically have Swayman and Allmark. I think they played 44 and 40 games between the two of them, and for 2 years they've been alternating. And one of the reasons, after Swayman played really well in game one, they went to Allmark in game two, is they didn't want to make the mistake they made last year when they threw Allmark in net and he lost them a series. And everybody's like, well, all year long you alternated these two goalies, and in the playoffs you decide just to throw Allmark in, and that's what happens. So I think, you know, the Bruins decided, well, you know, we're going to continue to do what we've done all along with these goalies. And I would imagine Swayman gets game three. I could very much see that with the Sabres, where Lukanen and Levi go in an alternating situation. And as long as both are playing really well, it doesn't matter. But if one is still playing quite a bit better than the other, or Levi isn't quite ready for that type of a situation, I think now they know they've got a guy in Lukanen who can ride it. And I know Lindy Ruff, well, look at the goalies he had. It's a situation where it's hard to say, because he had Dominik Hasek and Ryan Miller. Why is he going to the backup? You know, those guys, he's going to ride them. So that's what he did in Buffalo. But then he goes to New Jersey. I think he was fair. It was not fair that he got fired. He was not the person who didn't go out and get a goalie, and not having a goalie absolutely killed the Devils this year. And then Lindy Ruff takes the blame for it. And I thought that was hugely unfair.
Paul, do you know what the timeline would be on when we'd hear about any assistant coaching changes, staff changes, things like that? I know today usually isn't a day for that, but sometimes it happens pretty quickly after a guy's introduced as well.
Yeah, you know, I think they will add an assistant coach, whoever that might be. I'm sure it won't be today. That would be down through the summer. And, you know, what do you want to do with the assistant coaches that are here? He knows Matt Ellis very well, because Matt Ellis played for Lindy Ruff. And he knows what Matt Ellis knows about hockey, and maybe if he wants to keep him on the coaching staff, what he can do to utilize Matt Ellis's talents. So, you know, I think I'm sure, again, was already discussed. Marty did a great job, I thought, with the defense for the most part. And, you know, they really defensively really improved as the year went on, especially after January 1st. And I think that's why he's still here. And Jason Christie was
By the way, so people know, Marty Wilford is the defensive coach, not Marty Biron here talking about.
Oh.
Marty Wilford,
sorry.
Just so everybody knows. Well,
yeah,
we had Marty on the station last hour. That's okay. Marty Wilford, the defensive assistant, that's right.
Yeah, so, Marty Wilford, I thought did a real good job and seems to know hockey very well. It wouldn't surprise me if he remained on the coaching staff. And look what Mike Bales did. I made a mistake last year in the offseason. I kind of thought Mike Bales should have been let go. And I would have been wrong, because look what he did with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen this year, and look what he did to help Devin Levi improve. You know, I think as the season went on, Devin Levi's a much better goalie. So I don't see any reason why, he wouldn't still be around.
All right, Paul, 1 o'clock. Are we expecting to hear from Kevin Adams other than just introducing Lindy Ruff? Will he answer questions? Is this just Lindy? Do we know what's happening today?
They'll both be up there, and you can direct the questions at either one. So, yeah, they'll both be answering questions. And they usually do that. It's going to be out in the atrium, which when they hire a coach or a GM, it's bigger. So, I mean, as you know, fans won't know, but the media room is like a closet. It's just a room that they had forgotten to do a media room, so they basically did make a closet into a room, and there's just not enough room for it, so they do it out in the atrium, which is nice and roomy, and you have plenty of space.
All right, Paul, thanks. We'll be listening for you today and looking for your reports. Thanks a lot.
Take care, guys.
All right, you got it. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk briefly and then go to another timeout before we get Matt Bove from Channel 7 WKBW here on The Extra Point Show on WGR. Okay, we just talked about the Sabres staff. Well, you know who else is on the Sabres staff? Lindy Ruff's son, Brett Ruff. He is on the website, yes. Okay. And I knew this. I had met Brett a couple times, but he's been with the organization for quite a while, Joe. He actually is the coordinator of hockey administration.
Okay. All right.
So Lindy joins his son, Brett Ruff.
You know, real quick, you asked Paul about Skinner, and I had seen a couple of there's a lot of conversation about Skinner. Will they buy him out? And is Lindy maybe a driving force in that? I tend to think they still will. I would just like to point out one guy for this as a comparison, as we're going to do a lot of comparisons from the Lindy era. Second all-time in games played under Lindy Ruff as a Buffalo Sabre was Max Afinogenoff, who stunk defensively, who stunk in terms of his 200-foot game. He was here for 9 years. Nine years and played the second most games. So it's not like Lindy hasn't had a guy that is one-dimensional offense before.
I love it. I love it. All right, we'll take a timeout. Matt Bove joins us next. WKBW-TV, Channel 7 Sports Director. A lot to get to with Matt. Sabres hire of Lindy Ruff. Matt's, the era of you. He's around the same age as you, Joe, so you guys kind of have that same entry point like we were talking a little bit earlier with Lindy Ruff. He's covering it for the media now, growing up a fan of the Sabres. Also, NFL Draft, Thursday night. It's going to be on ABC. That's the, of course, affiliate where Matt is at WKBW. And last night, Matt Bove and I interviewed Mike North, VP of Broadcasting for the National Football League. A fantastic conversation, as always. We love it. We went an hour and a half with Mike. The podcast is up now. The video podcast is up now. But we're going to give you a few of the juicy details about what we learned about the NFL schedule and the possibility of the Bills. Again, primetime, other games, Christmas Day. We'll do all of that when we come back here on The Extra Point Show on WGR.
Final two words for this summer. No goal.
You just got to play. There's no other answer to it. I mean, you're supposed to dump the puck in and stay out of the zone. No, we just wanted to play. The more they acted like idiots, the more we wanted to play.
Well, that's Lindy's opinion. I've seen his teams do the same thing, so he ought to not talk about that. That's it.
Tell Lindy no.
Ah, classic. Lindy Ruff. It's never a bad time to bring that stuff back. I don't care who the coach is, but obviously matters more today. Lindy Ruff in 2 hours is going to be named, officially has been named, but he's going to be talking to the media as the once again coach, head coach of the Buffalo Sabres. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We'll have an extended Sabres Live today. That'll begin at noon. That'll run through the press conference until 2 p.m. And then One Bills Live from noon till 3. Show up with the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. They'll be recapping and talking about what Lindy Ruff had to say down at KeyBank Center. A guy who'll be down there, our good buddy, WKBW-TV Channel 7 sports director, Matt Bove. He joins us on the Western Hotline. And Matt, you know, we hear those clips just a little while ago. And I said to Joe, I think depending on your entry point to the Sabres, it kind of might be how you view Lindy Ruff a little bit differently. I mean, he goes back so long. I mean, even when I was a little kid, he started playing at 7 years old when I was growing up. But also, I think it matters that, you know, we grew up here and now we cover this team in the media. All three of us, you, your entry point as a fan and now a media member. What do you kind of make of and think about when you think of Lindy Ruff returning to the organization?
I had like a full-on heel turn yesterday on social media. I got a lot of heat just because I said I didn't like the move. Now, as time has gone on, I've warmed up to it for various reasons. That is not an indictment on Lindy Ruff. My reason that I was just skeptical about this was because I wanted them to explore all options. I think when you have a 13-year playoff drought, you owe it to your fan base to look into everything humanly possible. And from the minute that Kevin Adams spoke last Tuesday until the announcement was made yesterday, it felt so obvious that Lindy Ruff was going to be the choice. And, of course, that's what ultimately happened. You play that clip coming into me, it's pure nostalgia. As a kid, every great memory I have of the Buffalo Sabres is directly tied to Lindy Ruff being the coach of this team. I think he's a very good coach. I just wish that they would have explored all their options to see if maybe there was something better out there. They did it. Now we have to see how this plays out.
Right. But we'll hear that for sure today, I would think, or something along the lines of it. But it would be stunning, right, Matt, if they did some exhaustive search in 6 days. You didn't have enough time.
No, there's not enough time. It's impossible that they did. I'm sure that they got on the phone with a couple different people who were candidates for them. They had conversations with them. And then they probably just said, listen, some of these guys check the boxes that we want, but Lindy checks all of the boxes. And then obviously he's going to be a hit here. I just think that it was kind of a no-brainer for them. But sometimes the no-brainer move isn't always the best thing that you can do. I'm just thinking about this team's long-term potential. Do I think Lindy Ruff gets the most out of them immediately? Probably more so even than maybe some of the other options. Yes. But is he the best long-term answer for this team that's got still so much young talent and that I do think has the talent to eventually be a contender? That's the question I don't know yet. But luckily for the Sabres and luckily for Lindy Ruff, he's inheriting a team that's got some serious guys who could absolutely be playing playoff hockey at this time next year.
Yeah. Do you think they get more good PR from the fans that are going to love this for hiring Lindy Ruff? Or do you think maybe it even equals out? Because they're definitely getting criticism for even the idea that you would do it for PR, right? That you would do it for nostalgia. There definitely is another side of the population that is, you know, definitely criticizing them for this.
No, I think they get more good PR because I think that the people who are criticizing them were probably criticizing them anyway. And I don't know if those are people who are making their minds, you know, they're changing their minds or buying tickets or going to games next year. I think this is for the people who are casual fans who remember Lindy Ruff and who now all of a sudden are like, wow, okay, yes, I'm back. I want to go back. It's the same thing. It's obviously a much bigger scale, but it's like the Goathead games. You know, when we were growing up, they wore the goat heads. You go, you buy a ticket to that game because it's nostalgia. You go back in the arena and it feels like you're a teenager again and you're watching the Sabres play. So for Lindy Ruff, there's going to be a lot of people who feel that way. Listen, I'm guilty of this. People in Western New York are guilty of this. I've spent my entire life here. If there's one thing we love in this community, it's nostalgia. It moves the needle so much here. And Lindy Ruff absolutely is a home run as far as nostalgia is concerned. Just very interesting, though, that Kevin Adams put out in a statement that this move wasn't just about nostalgia and it was about all the other things, which is partially true. I just don't think fully true.
Okay, I saw that yesterday. I saw a quote. Where did that come from? Now, I know that it was on Wyshynski's page. I read it. However, I'm wondering, was it a statement or was he answering some question from somebody about nostalgia? I think context is important here. I don't know that. You guys can correct
me.
I don't know.
Greg reached out to him specifically. I'm assuming that.
Yeah, I was on a golf course, so I was just kind of, you know, skimming through everything.
Okay.
I'm assuming the same thing. I'm assuming it was the response sent to Greg.
Ooh, what was your next shot after Lindy got hired?
Bad. I was playing
bad,
good, guys. I was like playing well. I can specifically tell you where I was. I was about 100 yards out with a wedge. And for me, that's a pretty comfortable spot. And my buddy, who is a massive Leafs fan, yelled across the fairway, "Oh my God, the Sabres hired Lindy Ruff." And then my immediate thing is, "Oh my, are you kidding me? Like, my one day off this week, wow. I'm not thinking about work right now. Now you go into work mode. I hit a wedge, fat, it goes short, I'm in the bunker. I ended up doubling the hole. It was the worst hole I had the entire day just because my mind for the remainder of the round was, oh my God, they just hired Lindy Ruff.
Listen,
I cannot believe that we're doing this.
We need to put an asterisk on all Matt Beauvais Lindy opinions from here on out because he's definitely going to associate Lindy now with the bad golf shot that he immediately hit after.
Hey, no you doubt, got a wedge no in your hand and you got a wedge in your hand and you're 100 yards out, you should hit the green. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I will tell you, I actually this morning I went back on demand, guys, to hear when the news broke with Bulldog, who was on yesterday, because I didn't hear it when it broke yesterday. And I said, boy, I wonder what happened. And what happened was he had gone to break, and they go back to – and they come back, and then Zach comes on to do an update, and he says, we have breaking news basically coming out right now. So Bulldog, it didn't happen while he was, like, on the air. He was in a break when it happened, but he tells everybody when they come back, okay, here we go, Lindy Ruff. Now, for me – I was coaching a travel baseball scrimmage. My phone was off. I'm sitting there. I'm coaching. I got the kids. I'm like, oh, let me just kind of check my phone to see what's going on. I open it up, and I'm like, oh, my God, the Sabres hired Lindy Ruff. And I turn and tell parents. And guess what they all said? Yeah, we know, Sal. Because they had already had their phones on, and they were already, you know, into it and knew it. I didn't know. How about you, Joe? How did you find out?
I was literally just on the couch waiting. We were going to take the dog for a walk, and boom, I got the text message. That Lindy, nothing crazy, which is funny because I remember where I was when he got fired. It was at the library.
Same.
When
same.
He got fired.
Same.
But I didn't, yeah. So you'll have a more memorable story because you were on the golf course. I might forget it just because I wasn't really doing anything when he got hired.
When they fired him, I was at Buff State. I think it was my last year at Buff State, and I was in class. And I think that's honestly, I think I got the alert from like the WGR text line. Because that would have been before. No, I was definitely on Twitter at that point, but I think that's how I found out the alert from the WGR text line of the Buffalo Sabres have fired Lindy Ruff. And that was like a monumental moment in Buffalo sports history. But it, for me, sure. That was before, you know, I covered the team or I even worked at the local news station at Channel 7. So that for me was like peak fandom. And then obviously my life and my job has evolved so much over time. It is just weird to think that, okay, I remember when he got fired, and now here I am when he got hired. What the heck happened in between?
Matt Beauvais joining us on the Western Hotline. My last question on Lindy for both you guys here. All right. Broad question, but I'm interested from both of you. What's his mission? And I say that because, let's think about this for a second. The mission of Don Granato was clearly develop these young kids, get these young guys better. We have a really good pipeline. Like, he was the right guy for the job, and he did that. He got them to a certain level. If you remember when Sean McDermott was hired, right off the heels of Rex Ryan, we were in a media tent and a scrum that at training camp with Terry Pegula, and it was asked, like, what do you want from this team this year and this coaching staff and this organization? He said, to gain respect back in this league. Okay, so there's a certain mission here. What's Lindy Ruff's mission at this moment coming to this organization? Joe, what do you think it is?
I mean, end the drought. Simply, like, that's,
yeah,
that's,
see, is,
that's
is it,
the starting
is it that,
point.
Is it, that's the bar, right? I mean,
yeah.
Right? I mean, just get to the playoffs? Is that what we're talking here?
The minimum. That's the. I mean, I don't even know if you need to call it a success. If they just,
right.
You know, if he's here for a couple of years and they make the playoffs and they don't really do anything of significance past that, you won't be able to call it a failure, I don't think, if he's broken the drought. But if you, after 2-3 years, still think, like, this wasn't some big smashing success, I think, you know what I mean? Like, that to me is the very minimum. You've got to get to the playoffs. That has to happen.
My question is, I agree with everything Joe said. My question is, how do they surround Lindy Ruff on the bench, and what is the long-term vision of this team? Because I can get behind the idea of if Lindy Ruff accomplishes exactly that, but then they have a Seth Appert in place or a Mike Pekka in place as the kind of heir apparent working behind him, I can get behind that idea. My question is, though, how long is Lindy Ruff going to do this? He's 64 years old. And in coaching, that's not that old. He could very well coach for another 5-10 years, and it would not be earth-shattering. But if this is what they do, if they get into the playoffs and then kind of do the same thing that they did, which caused him to lose his job all those years ago, how do you move on from that after these last 13 years? Is that just good enough, or is it get to the playoffs and then after a year winning a Stanley Cup mm-hmm. is the new goal? That's what I'm really interested in, because I still think for as good as the Sabres might be next year, I don't know if Lindy Ruff gives them the best chance for sustained long-term success to ultimately go win a championship. So I think that they're going to be better next year than they were this past year. I think Lindy Ruff probably still has a job if the goaltending in New Jersey wasn't horrendous and if they didn't have a bunch of players get injured that were really important in the first half of the season. He's going to get a lot out of this team, but I feel like the ceiling next year is probably second round, get to the second. Mm-hmm. I'm watching these playoff games for the last couple nights, and I'm just like, man, these teams are so good. Like, these teams are so good, mm-hmm. and I can't envision myself watching the Sabres play in these. I can see the Sabres beating these teams random nights in the regular season. Like, they definitely have the talent to do it, and they've won a fair amount of games the last 2 years. But I'm watching these teams just beat the heck out of each other, and like Colorado and Vegas and Dallas and all these teams, and then in the Eastern Conference, even like Toronto and Boston last night, I'm like, man, these teams are good. So that's, I don't know, I think he has to make the playoffs next year. He'll have a longer lease than that. Like,
right.
If he misses the playoffs 1 year, it's not like they're going to fire him or something. But I feel like that has to be what they accomplished. They have to get back to the playoffs.
Yeah. This is the only place I would push back on what you just said is, man, the Islanders and the Capitals just look like they do not belong with the rest of these teams. They are getting destroyed in the first couple of games. But, like, to your point, you know, like, making the playoffs and ending the drought would be awesome, but there is going to eventually be a next step. You don't want them to make it and then look like what the Islanders looked like last night or what the Capitals look like, where you just are getting destroyed by clearly better teams.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, okay, if they make the playoffs next year and they lose in five to the Florida Panthers, like, is that really – it's a step in the right direction. It's kind of like the Bills ending the drought and then realizing mm-hmm. that, okay, this team is about to accomplish more. But as you start to look at that timeline, Lindy Ruff is a year older, 2 years older, 3 years older. Like, how long are they going to do this with a guy who's about to turn 65 in the middle of next season? I just think that that's a really interesting way of trying to figure out what they put around him, because I think in this circumstance, those assistant coaches mean more than it would for a guy like Don Granato, who, you know, until he was fired, it's not like he was ever going to, you know, just leave or something like that.
We are 2 days away from the NFL draft. You can watch it on ABC. Of course, we're going to have coverage right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. But that's where Matt Bove is the sports director over at Channel 7, WKBW-TV. Have you settled on what you think the most likely outcome is for the Bills in the first round? Not even player. I mean, trading up, staying, trading out of the first round. Where are you right now on that?
Yeah, the most likely outcome is that the Bills make a minor trade up and get one of the receivers that should probably be available in the late teens, early 20s. So the two names that I'm very much focused in on are Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU and A.D. Mitchell from Texas. I think that those guys fit a lot of what the Bills are looking for. Of those two players, I like Brian Thomas Jr. more than Adonai Mitchell, but I would be, you know, I won't be surprised if that's what the Bills do, just because, hey, history has a way of repeating itself, and Brandon Bean in these first rounds has traded up four times since 2018. So I don't think it would be crazy for him to do it again, and I just think that's more likely than them kind of mortgaging their future and giving up a future one, a future two, a first this year, and trying to go up and get one of the big three. That's what I would like them to do. I just don't think that's the most realistic outcome.
You agree, Joe?
I tend to agree as well. You get play, you look at the history. 4 of 6 first-round picks that they've moved up for, and usually it's a little bit of a smaller move-up. Yeah, I'm thinking they don't just want receiver, they want the right type of receiver. And not everybody fits that. You know, like, I don't think Worthy fits that. McConkie kind of does, but maybe not all the way. Roman Wilson, some of these guys might be really good receivers, but I agree. I think you get to a point where you have conviction that you like the guy and he fits the scheme that you're about to employ. I think Thomas does. I think that's the guy they're going to try to move up for.
All right, so Matt is also the co-host with me on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, an original Odyssey podcast. You can find it wherever you pod, and of course, it's on video as well on the South Sports YouTube page, and I'm going to tell everybody, you need to go there today. Go to the video, go to the audio, it doesn't matter. Last night, Matt and I had a chance once again to chat with NFL VP of Broadcasting, Mike North, one of the head schedule makers. Matt, an hour and a half, how fun was that? We could have gone for another 5 hours.
We finished the conversation. You know, it's obviously an audio podcast, but we do it on video as well. So Mike North left the room that we were in, and Sal and I were both sitting there. We could see each other, our cameras on, and we were both just smiling ear to ear because the conversation was so intriguing and so good. We're both schedule nerds, so we absolutely love it. But we also could have went easily another hour and a half. He answered so many questions. There was so much insight there. I have already actually gone back and listened to it. I listened to the entire episode this morning as I was getting ready, just because I wanted to make sure, did we ask good questions? Did he give good answers? What stood out from the conversation? So yeah, it's my favorite episode every year. And if you are somebody who likes the schedule, you know, obviously I'm probably a little biased here, but I really do recommend it.
And obviously we're invested in what's going to happen with the Bills. I think one of the bigger takeaways for me that would be relatable to our audience is the Bills aren't going anywhere when it comes to prime time. I'm going to say what Terry Pegula said about Lindy Ruff. Lindy ain't going nowhere when he first bought the team, and then eventually he finally did. Eventually that might happen with the Bills, but as long as they have Josh Allen, Mike North made it clear, Matt, that the Bills are going to be once again very much featured in the schedule, including lots of primetime action.
Yeah, I would imagine based off of just kind of reading the tea leaves here, I think they'll probably get several primetime games at home, but I also don't think that those will all be stacked at the end of the year. I think they'll be spread out, maybe a little bit similar to last year, where they had a primetime game in late October, then another primetime game at home in early November, and then they didn't have another one at home until much later in the year. So I think that that's probably going to be what it looks like, probably the maximum, which is six. Primetime does not just mean it has to be a night game. It means basically not a Sunday afternoon game, which is something that Mike cleared up. And I also don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that we see the Bills playing on a holiday next year. Which holiday, I don't know. But, you know, the Bills are big-time must-see TV, and they want to put those big-time teams in those windows to make sure that they, you know, have success. Like, there's going to be NFL games on Christmas this year. Could the Bills be on Christmas? I think it's a possibility. Could they be on Thanksgiving? I wouldn't rule it out. And I wouldn't even necessarily rule out a potential that the Bills play a home game on Thanksgiving. Like, we know there's going to be a game in Detroit. We know there's going to be a game in Dallas. But we don't know about the late one. So I think there's probably a 50-50 shot we see them play on a holiday this year.
Wow. All right. That would be a Wednesday if it's Christmas.
Yeah, it would be a
one
Wednesday.
One thing that was interesting to me, and this comes up in the podcast, but we'll tell everybody. He also said, this is interesting, if there's a team that's going to play on Wednesday, on Christmas, they're going to play the previous Saturday. There's going to be two games that Saturday. And because you got to have four teams playing, because out of those four teams, two of them are then going to match up on Wednesday on Christmas. So instead of going Sunday to Thursday, you're going to have a Saturday to Wednesday. So that week, if your team has chosen to play on Christmas, you're also playing Saturday the previous week.
Yeah, it could be like a situation where the Bills play the Patriots on Saturday. It honestly kind of makes a ton of sense. Like, the Bills could play the Patriots and the Jets could play the Dolphins. And then you would have the Bills against either the Jets or the Dolphins on Christmas Day. Like, to me, you know, that was one of the things that Mike said multiple times. It's going to feel, it's going to sound like a football game. To me, like, Bills, Dolphins, and Buffalo on Christmas Day sounds like a football game. That sounds like a really fun matchup for people to want to watch. You could say the exact same thing about the Jets, but something about, you know, the snow, Buffalo, Christmas Day, this rivalry that has happened for the last several years, that feels like it would be a really cool game that people would be really into and want to watch. And obviously there'd be like fantasy football implications with those two teams. So I just think that, you know, it obviously I don't know anything. We just had this conversation, but every year I kind of walk away with it thinking, okay, I think I can start to put the pieces together. And that's one of the takeaways I had from yesterday's conversation.
Very interesting. All right, Matt, tell everybody about the coverage on the draft. It's coming up in a couple of days. You guys have it on your network.
Yeah, we've got the coverage starting at 7:30. We've got a special edition of our show leading the charge. It'll be myself, this fella named Howard Simon, maybe you've heard of him, and Joe Biscaglia. The three of us will be getting ready for the draft, and then coverage starts The first round is on ABC. The second round and third round are on ABC. So just a really fun day of coverage from Thursday up until Saturday on Channel 7 locally.
You got it. Right. Thanks a lot, buddy. We appreciate it. And I know you're going to be down at Lindy Ruff's press conference today, so we'll be looking for that coverage as well. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, guys. Talk soon.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, you got it. That is Matt Bove. Real quickly, Joe, Bills-Texans, we specifically asked Mike North about that. Like, okay, Diggs gets traded. How much does that change what you thought about Bills-Texans? He basically said it didn't change much. You know why? They were already really thinking about Bills-Texans.
Yep.
He said, he gave the example, he said, it didn't go from like a C to an A. It went from like an A minus to a solid A.
Okay.
You know what that tells me, right? That's a national window game. Doesn't have to be prime time night, but it's a national window game.
Yep. And which uniform will the Texans wear? Because have you seen the new drop sale of the new Houston Texans?
I have not.
Look?
I'm going to look during the break.
My you like it? Goodness. I would go as far. I don't know that it'll be everyone's cup of tea. I would go as far as to say it might be my favorite non-throwback uniform change that I've seen. It is.
Okay.
There's a red one.
I am looking at it right
now.
There's
a new logo. It is there's a horned helmet on the red one that I really like. It looks very fresh, I'll say.
This H, they have this H-Town. H-Town's a big deal. They're going with the H. The H is a big theme, it looks like. Houston Texans uniforms. All right, more info from the Mike North interview last night. When we come back, I'll fill you in on a couple of things he said and kind of tease that so you can go and listen. I can't give you everything because it's an hour and a half long, and I want you to go listen anyway, but lots of good stuff there. Sabres introducing Lindy Ruff also at 1 o'clock today. We'll have that live on WGR.
Not taking our foot off the gas with the Bills. I don't think there's any question. They have one of the best players in the league, and that is the must-see TV that we've been talking about here. What makes me want to go sit in front of the television for a few hours? It's somebody like that, and he's phenomenal. He's fun to watch.
Somebody like that, of course, is Josh Allen. That is NFL Vice President of Broadcasting Mike North, one of the head schedule makers for the NFL, who joined Matt Bove and me on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, a podcast. It's a video podcast. It's an audio podcast. We went an hour and a half last night, and I could have gone another 10 hours with him. I'm a nerd for this stuff, but it's so fascinating learning about how the schedule's made. And I can think by now we kind of understand and know, but it's always, there's always different things happening in technology, but also just what the league thinks about trends and teams and platforms, networks, streaming platforms, international games. Like, we cover it all. We talk about all of this with Mike North. So there's a couple ways that you can listen. And I would tell you, if it's between watching an hour and a half movie tonight or going to watch / listen to our interview with Mike North, go watch / listen to our interview with Mike North. Because I'm telling you, you learn a lot. You get a lot of insight on how the league operates and views things. You have these preconceived notions about what the league thinks about how to set up the schedule, what's important to them, what's not important to them. And then you come out and go, okay, well, wait a minute. Okay, no, I thought that, but that makes sense. And really, the other part, the challenges they face. It's not that simple, right? That, well, you know, the Chiefs and Bills, the Chiefs are really good. We're going to put them on 6 primetime games. They're getting 2 on ESPN, 2 on, you know, Thursday Night Football. No, you can't do that. There's so many challenges they face to taking care of their network partners and making sure that all their bases are covered. And yes, there are minimum types of requirements, but not in the sense that you might think. It used to be where you got to be on primetime at least once, and they went away with that. You know what the minimum is now? I found this fascinating, Josh, actually. The minimum now, and I said, are there minimum requirements? It's actually the opposite now. Like, because every game can be on every network, meaning, you know, it used to be where the ABC was only on the AFC was only on CBS and the NFC was only on Fox, right, for the away team. Now you can kind of do it wherever. You can find a Bills-Dolphins game can be on Fox. It was a couple years ago. Because of that now, Josh, what I found interesting, he said, CBS and Fox, they have to have a minimum number of games basically for those teams and those conferences because they're still the main networks for those conferences, even though you're not going to get every one of those games like you used to. So they want to make sure CBS still has enough Bills games, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I wonder if they're going to like kind of like spread them out, or if they're all going to be in like a certain spot of the year. You know what I mean? Like, is there going to be a trend of like X amount of Bills games are on this station for like a certain amount of weeks? You know what I mean? Like, I wonder what like the stipulations are, or if they just have to be kind of whenever. You know what I mean? Like, they can be scattered around or in consecutive weeks or something like that. But yeah, I think it's kind of interesting that you can get the variation there, but then it also leads to, you know, the whole streaming thing and like finding everything on different platforms and all that good stuff.
I mean, we talked about them opening the season in São Paulo, Brazil. That's on day number two because, you know, you got the Chiefs are kicking off the season as the Super Bowl champ home week one Thursday night. The next night is in São Paulo, Brazil, and it is the Eagles and the Packers. I asked him, how did you determine the teams? How did you determine that's going to be on Peacock? He went through all that. By the way, I didn't tell you how you can listen to all this. I just teased it. Wherever you pod, doesn't matter. It's iTunes, Spotify, and of course, the Odyssey app. We want you to listen through there as well. Subscribe to It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. I have a link on all my social platforms, whether that's X or Instagram or Facebook, and you can find it there. But also, I have a YouTube page where all of this lands. Every time we do a podcast, we do a video podcast. It's Sal Sports on YouTube. Subscribe to it, okay? Help me out, subscribe, but also because then you're going to get the latest episodes video-wise with Matt and I and all the guests that we have. Just did a mock draft with John Scott a few days ago, dueling mock drafts. That's all on the Sal Sports YouTube page. So go subscribe to that. You'll get the latest It's Always Game Day in Buffalo video version there. And then, of course, if you're just an audio listener, you want to do it while you're, you know, bumping around, running, whatever, that's on any way that you can get your audio podcast. So check that out. An hour and a half. It's all right there. This morning, it dropped down to the audio. It was on video last night. The Bills still rate very, very highly with the league. They're going to get more primetime games. It's like they, I'm not going to say more. They're going to get about as many as they have the last few years. Now, ever since last night teasing the pod and saying that to people, I've had the reaction you would think, which is, okay, can we go back to 1 o'clock? All right, this is really messing with me. And I get it. I get it, folks. Like, it's tough. It's tough on me. Like, believe me, ask my boss. We'd say it all the time. Like, boy, like we have to really adjust a lot of things that we do. Now we love being in this spot where the Bills are relevant. People are listening. People are talking about it. No doubt about it. But it's challenging on all of us. It's challenging on you as a fan. It's challenging on you as a consumer. It's challenging on those of us who work professionally to cover the team, to be a part of the broadcast, whatever it is. It's challenging. It's also an honor, right, for the Bills to be there. But I'm just here to tell you, the toothpaste is out of the tube. Like, you're not putting it back for the league as far as all of these different days and times. They're now playing on Black Friday pretty much every year going forward. It seems like they're going to play on Christmas every year going forward. They said they wouldn't this year, and then they're going to. That's a Wednesday, okay? We're getting Saturday games in December every year. We've had that for a while. Thursday night, not only Thursday night games, flex scheduling came in last year on Thursday night. Flex scheduling came in on Monday Night Football. Flex scheduling, we know, on Sunday night. You got Sunday afternoons, Sunday night, Monday nights. You got holidays, Thanksgiving, night game, Saturdays in December. There's no way that you're getting out of this now. Even if you don't have Josh Allen anymore, years from now, Josh Allen hopefully wins a few Super Bowls, retires, goes off into the sunset. Maybe the Bills become kind of a middling team. Who's their quarterback? Are they not that interesting? Guess what? If that were to happen, they're still going to find their way onto some of these types of games. So that's not changing. But in the meantime, while they have Josh Allen, you just heard the clip right there a little while ago from Mike North. While they have Josh Allen, while they're still considered one of the best teams in the league, they're going to be featured heavily by the National Football League as far as the schedule is concerned. The answer to the question you just heard Mike North a minute ago play the clip, okay, that Josh played, that said, as long as they have Josh Allen, right? That was an answer to a question I said to him, which is, hey, every time I do a radio interview around the country, I'm asked, is the Bills window closing? They had all these changes. They traded Stephon Diggs. And then I look and there's the Vegas odds. Bills are still one of the top, what, five teams to win the Super Bowl. Bills are still the favorite to win the AFC East. So you know what? The window's not closing. They have Josh Allen. The odds are the window is not closing. What does the NFL and what do the schedule makers believe? And he said, yeah, we're not taking our foot off the gas on the Bills. And then it comes to things like you know, specific games. We talked about the Texans, Stephon Diggs, revenge factor. Yeah, it's revenge matters, but you know what? That was already a big game. Two AFC teams, an up-and-coming team that everybody kind of really saw last year take a step, and he said, we blew it last year. He said the league blew it with Houston. They didn't know. I don't think there's any shame in that. A lot of us didn't think Houston would be that good. And then you have the Bills and how good they are already. But also, week one. That was another one we touched on. So week one, the Bills have played on week one on the road and in prime time each of the last 2 years. So they went to the Rams to open the season 2 years ago when the Rams were the defending champs. And then they went to New York last year to face Aaron Rodgers and the Jets on Monday night. So I specifically asked him, like, would you consider that when making this year's schedule and saying, look, we can't do that to the Bills again. The fans have seen them on the road twice. We want to put them at home. Now, personally, even before he answered, I will tell you, my personal opinion on that is the league doesn't care. The Cincinnati Bengals opened on the road 7 straight years, folks, from 2009 to 2016. I believe those were the years. Look them up. Now, they weren't the Bengals, like, contending every year like they are now with Joe Burrow. So it wasn't a big deal. They were either going to be home or away at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, essentially. But they were on the road 7 straight years week one. I don't think the league cares after two that put them on three if you're the Bills. But 2 years in a row, prime time, on the road, probably not necessarily looking at that. But he said that's not like something overly we're looking at the trend and saying we got to change it. But sure, they do start to think about those teams at a certain point. The question is, when does that point become, right? So there's a lot of things that get baked into all of this. And again, please just go check it out. It's really, really fascinating to me. Like I said, I'm a schedule nerd. The other thing I actually asked him about too was last year, we get into the very end about the Pittsburgh game, moving the game, the snow, and what that was like and how much, you know, what the communication was with the league, the schedule makers, the, you know, politicians, governor's office, obviously, that moved it, the stadium, the Bills, and then what impact that might have going forward on scheduling games. All of that on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Mike North joined me and Matt Bove. Super cool stuff. Check it out once again, wherever you pod, and also on the Sal Sports YouTube page. We will take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up your Tuesday and then get to the Sabres live show at noon, which is going to extend to 2 o'clock today because they're going to have the Lindy Ruff press conference live at 1 p.m. down at KeyBank Center.
Well, I really believe that there's a lot of great pieces in place, that we're in a win-now situation. This is a group that is ready to take the next step. By no means do I think it's going to be easy, and I don't think the players will think it's easy, but it is something that we're going to work really hard at.
All right, that's Lindy Ruff today. No, that's pre-press conference because that's not happening for another hour and 10 minutes. Where was this posted you just played that from, Josh?
The Sabres social media team posted that to their Twitter account, actually. Okay. It's about a 2.5-minute interview. It's just a short little thing.
Okay.
You know, they've got some pictures posted, too, of him just kind of walking around the arena. It looks like he's met Alex Tuch, so there's that as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, again, the changing landscape of media and social media and platforms, we're getting a lot of info and things about Lindy Ruff already before we actually hear from him today, right? So you're going to see that. The Sabres social media team is all over it, and they're going to obviously have some video and things they put out like you just heard there. And how about the Bills? They have tweeted out pictures of the new Highmark Stadium under construction. Wow. I mean, it's going up fast, Josh. I don't know if you've seen these, but I reposted and I retweeted the pictures.
Yeah, I saw them at a glance, and it's going quick. Like
it is. I mean, it's only 2 years from now. It's going to be done. They're going to open up in 2 years, so I'd imagine either now or in a, you know, 2 years and a few months, I guess, is how you want to look at it. But you know, opening game for the new Highmark Stadium is going to be in the 2026 season. And you look at these pictures and say, man, it's fun to kind of watch this. I love stuff like that. I'm not a handy person at all. My wife will tell you, like, something gets broke, I call somebody. I don't fix anything. But I love the process of watching things getting built, right? And the kind of the from start to finish and time lapse. She always says, you'd love to watch a time lapse of that. I would. I'll watch time lapse of things, how they change, like the weather moving in even. It's super cool to me. Like, this is going to be really cool when you get a time lapse of this stadium. But right now, you go to the Buffalo Bills X account and it says, "What a view. Check out these photos." And there's a link to more photos, but the four they have posted there just looks incredible. Really does. And that I was there the other day, obviously, for the last week for Brandon Bean's press conference. And Sean McDermott and Josh Allen and Terrell Bernard spoke that day. As I left, I saw it and I said, okay, I can see the steel coming out. You can only get so close right on Abbott Road there. So I took a picture of that and tweeted it out. This is obviously way different. These are aerial shots of showing it. And it just struck me that, man, I hadn't been here in a few months. Now I come back. There was no steel in the ground the last time I was there. Now there's all these steel beams up and you see all the cranes everywhere. I'm going to go back there again on Thursday, obviously, because the NFL draft is happening Thursday night. And I mean, literally could be even, there's going to be more done, but maybe you'll be able to see it. Maybe not after a week, like notice changes, but it's going to be wild to kind of be going back there again through, you know, offseason workouts and then into the season and see the progress as they get going here. But check all of that out. Check out the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast on video or on audio. Check out the Lindy Ruff press conference today. We'll have that for you. That's live right here on WGR. Here's the day for you. Sabres Live is up next. They're going to carry you through that press conference at 1 o'clock. They're going to take you up till 2 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, we'll have a shortened version of One Bills Live. That'll be until 3 o'clock today. And, of course, then it's Shope and the Bulldog. Mike and Chris will be breaking down everything Lindy Ruff said at today's reintroductory press conference. Lindy Ruff is back, the head coach of the Buffalo Sabres.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameTip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.